I forget to cut my mic on. And man, y'all need to loosen up. Man, I went to the karaoke bar last night. I didn't know we was going to one. Man, come around, won't know who was singing. I said, do not make eye contact. We kept our head down. I told her, I said, do not. We was at the wrong place. Brother Lee Akers told me to go eat this place. It's good. I walk in, they karaoke. Said, what will you take? I didn't look at the menu, hamburger. I said, don't make eye contact with them people. Whatever you do, we're in trouble. Because you know if they'd come over and ask me what I want to sing, I'd have to sing something. All right, let's get serious now. Man, I just like to have a good time. I just like to have a good time. And if I can't have a good time pastoring this church, I won't pastor. If I can't have a good time being a Christian, I don't want to be one. Folks, God saved me and he saved you to loosen up, let go, and let him lead you. So this morning I prayed all week long that God would be the author of this message and not me, that I would be so humbled when I preach this morning that you would not see me, but you would see Christ Jesus through every part of this sermon, and that you would understand what I'm trying to tell you this morning through the Word of God. The Holy Spirit would relay it to you. You would find effect with this message. It would stir your heart, and you would understand what I'm talking about. We live in freedom, not in fear. Satan puts you bound in fear. God sets you free. Luke chapter number 14 and verse number 25. The title of the message this morning is Finish, Don't Quit. Finish, don't quit. I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. Luke 14 and verse number 25 in the Bible says, And there went great multitudes with him. And he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, and oh yeah, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever did not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and count the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Our Father and our God, as we humbly bow in your presence, I love you more than anything in this world. Father, I love you because you first loved me. And Lord God, this morning, as Brother Garrett has sung, there's evidence all over our life. Father God, you don't know love, you are love. Father God, you don't know goodness, you are goodness. Father God, you don't know grace, you are grace. That's who you are. And Lord God, this morning I pray whoever has got the quit on the table, that they get the quit off the table and they'd start following you. Lord God, for that Christian this morning that's beat down and broken, if somebody's told them they're unworthy and they're not fit, get that junk out of their mind, Father. Because that's what it is. It's junk from the devil. Lord God, your word says that we are worthy. We are worthy to be called the child of God. There's no greater title given on any man, woman, boy, or girl than to be called a child of the living God. Lord, this morning, humble me. Guard my throat. Guard my thoughts. Let it be all about you and not one thing about me. I love you. I thank you and I praise your name. It's in Jesus Christ's most holy, precious name. And every one of God's children said, Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Finish, don't quit. It'd be a hot August summer. We'd be over at Brown Stadium playing football. It'd be so hot, your tongue be stuck to the roof of your mouth. White saliva coming out of the corners. You stunk so bad you couldn't even stand being around yourself. And you go home and you tell your mom and daddy, I'm done. I ain't going back tomorrow. And they'd tell you, if you start it, you better finish it. That's been instilled in me since I was a little bitty boy. If you start it, you better finish it. This morning in the Word of God, in the Gospel according to Luke, Jesus gave us the cost of discipleship and said, finish, don't quit. As your pastor, I beg you, please finish the race and do not quit. And you asked me a question this morning, why? I asked myself a question this morning, what is the importance of why not quitting? Why finish? What if you quit today and Jesus came back tomorrow? What if you quit today and you died tomorrow? What if you gave up on everything that God gave you and He come to get you tomorrow? This morning I want to show you in the Word of God three things that I see in this text. We won't be turning. We're going to look at Thus Saith the Word of God. And I want to look at why you must finish and don't quit. Number one this morning is because there's a crowd that's curious that's watching you. There's a crowd that is watching you, waiting on you to quit, waiting on you to be a failure, waiting on you to be a have-been, waiting on you to be a once-was, waiting on you to be a used-to-be. Hey, but this morning in the Word of God, I want you to know on the authority of God's Word, you don't have to be a once was or a has been. You can be I am now, a child of God. He says in the Word of God this morning, I want to show you that crowd that was curious. Look what the Bible says. And there went great multitudes with him. There's the crowd. And there went great multitudes with him. And he turned and said unto them. You see this multitude that was following Jesus Christ. The first thing I would tell you is there was the simplicity of this crowd. You see, this crowd that was following Jesus, everything was going good, so they was following. They was that fair weather crowd. Hey, as long as the weather's fair, I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. As long as it ain't nothing going wrong, I'm going to follow Jesus. I wrote this down. Everywhere Jesus went, a crowd followed him, except when he went to Calvary. You saw, except that when he went to Calvary, the Bible says that there was some that followed. But I want you to know there was never as many as there was a crowd when they wanted something from him. But when they thought they was going to lose everything, they went away from him. This morning, can I say to you as your pastor, without Jesus Christ, you have nothing. This morning, I would ask you a question. You got a pen in your pocket. Just make you a list right quick of what you can carry on this life with you to heaven. Just make you a, boy, God's been on me. Just make you a little list. I ain't going to get excited because I want you to understand. I want you to make a list on everything that you're going to carry with you when you die to heaven. And that's what you ought to be concerned about. You ought not be concerned about nothing else but what has everlasting value. That's your soul. That's your family. That's your friends. All these people we have an opportunity to carry with us to heaven if we won't quit and we'll keep following Jesus Christ and be a servant of His. Number one, we got a crowd that is curious. We see the simplicity of the crowd. They followed when it was easy. And there went great multitudes with Him. And He turned and said unto them, not only do we see the simplicity of the crowd, but we're fixing to see the seriousness of the crowd. You see, Jesus Christ, if you ever follow Him for any little bit of time, you'll realize it ain't a day in the park. It's not an old bed of roses. There is thorns among the roses. Amen? And as you read the text, He says, if any man, He said, not only the simplicity of the crowd, but the seriousness of the crowd. That crowd was following Him, and He knew they was following, and He turned around. Hey, I would say to you this. He said, preacher, if you can get a crowd, just drag them on in. A crowd don't always mean it's good. The majority's not always right. Hey, but the master's always right. Amen? So I want you to think about that this morning. Jesus had a multitude following Him. It was simple. They just got in line and started following. Why would He tell them this next thing? Because it's serious when you follow Jesus Christ. Look what He says. If any man,
You see, he took the multitude. He took the multitude, how big it was in the plural, and then he brings it down to the singular, and he pulls it down. He said, I got a multitude following, but I want to talk to you one-on-one. Is that not how he does salvation? He talks to you one-on-one. You can have a crowd this size, and the Holy Spirit will pick out one person. He'll go to that person, and he'll convict that heart. You see the simplicity of the crowd, but you see the seriousness of the crowd. Look what he says. If any man come to me, and hate not his father. Now let me stop right there and what this means. It doesn't mean that you hate your father. It just means that you love God more than you do your father. If any man come to me and love his father, his earthly father, more than his heavenly father, if anybody loves his earthly mother more than he does his heavenly father, if anybody loves his wife more than he loves his heavenly father, if anybody loves their children more than they do their heavenly father, oh, can I get amen? If any man love their brethren more than they do their heavenly father, it's getting serious, amen? Hey, it's done got serious. Jesus says, hey, look here, if you want to come where I'm at and you want to follow me, you got to love me. I got to be number one. I've got to be Lord of all, or I'm not Lord at all. Now, if you want me, here's what it's going to take to get me. Here's what it's going to take to get in line where you want to go. But here's also what it's going to take you not to quit and finish the race that you started. You see, they done got in the race. They done started following him. And then he says, oh, and by the way, let me tell you what it's going to take to follow me. It ain't as simple as you thought it was. It's serious when you come to know Jesus Christ. He says this, and by the way, if you love your own life more than you love the Heavenly Father, you cannot be my disciple. He said, I want you to know, he said, the simplicity of the crowd was curious. They followed Jesus. They seen how simple it was, and then they seen how serious it got. But let me give you this. Not only was the crowd seeing the simplicity of it, not only they seen how serious it was, but then there was a separation come with the crowd. You see, this crowd was following. And then Jesus said, by the way, it's not a cakewalk. If you want to follow me, it's going to take you to give up some things. It's going to take you to get in line and see what I have for you and have instilled for your life. Friends, you can lose everything on this life and have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're a winner. Hey, you can lose everything material here and have Jesus Christ, and you are a winner. Hey, you can get everything you want here and not have Jesus Christ, and you will die a loser. You will die a failure. You will die that way. He said, you must forsake all and follow me. Friends, I want you to know, when you start following Jesus Christ and you love him more than anybody, you'll know how to love your wife. Can I get amen? When you love him more than anybody, you'll know how to love your wife. You'll know how to love your daddy. You'll know how to love your mama. You'll know how to love other people. And good God Almighty, you'll know how to love yourself. Amen? When you start loving him, you'll know how to love yourself. He says, I'll give you something like you've never seen. He said, but I want you to know there's a crowd that's curious. And this crowd wants to know what's going on. He said, and you must understand this. From that time and separation of the crowd, he separated this crowd in verse 26. And he said, if you don't do this, you cannot be my disciple. If I'm not head of all, I'm not nowhere near it. I'm not going to be nowhere if I can't be the head of your life. If I can't be the head of your life, you know what's wrong with the United States of America? God's not the head no more in man's eye. But let me tell you something. Even though they may not look at him as God, he's still God, amen? He's still on the throne. He's still high and lifted up. Hey, as long as I'm the pastor of this church, he's going to be God of all, amen? He's going to be Lord of all. You say, what about if the crowd dwindles? He's still Lord. He's still God. We still serve him. There's a crowd wants to know what we're going to do. Hey, crowd, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to serve God. Can I get an amen? You say, I don't like that preacher. He said, if you don't do it that way, you'll never have a way. Amen? He says, don't quit. Finish what God has started in your life. Don't you quit. Don't you be a quitter. You be a finisher. You be a winner in what God's called you to do. He said, number one, because there's a crowd that is curious. The crowd is curious. What are you going to do? I've never seen nothing in the world we live in. People says, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? I don't know. I ain't got a clue either. What are we going to do? I don't know. How are we going to fix it? I don't know. If he don't fix it, it won't be fixed. See, this ain't my church. This is his church. This ain't your church. This is his church. And if he's going to fix it, it'll be him that fixes it. It won't be the pastor, and it won't be the people. It'll be our high priest, Jesus Christ. He said there's a crowd that's curious what's going on. He said they're curious at what's going on. And you know this, and I said I want to be so humble. I do want to be so humble and so. Let me tell you this, there's a crowd. They can't wait till you quit sitting on this pew. They can't wait till you quit sitting on this pew. There's a crowd that can't wait till you have a fall. There's a crowd that can't wait till your marriage goes south. There's a crowd can't wait till they hear that you've died. There's a crowd can't wait to see that you quit following Jesus Christ. There's a crowd can't wait till your kids mess up. There's a crowd out there that does not want what's good. But friends, let me tell you, there's a Christ in heaven. He wants the best for you. He wants what's the best for you. And he's got that in store for you this morning. And he said, I want you to know, don't you quit. You finish what you started. You finish what you started. You keep doing what God's called you to do. Don't you get out. Don't you give up. You stand up and stand out in the crowd of the world we live in. He said, I want you to know that there is a, man, that crowd is so curious. He said, that crowd is curious. But then he said something else. He said, if you don't want to quit and you want to finish, you remember there's a crowd watching you. You keep doing what God's called you to do. You keep walking that way. You keep standing that way. You keep saying that the Bible says. You keep saying what the good book says. You keep saying what the word says. You keep giving them what Jesus gives you. Man, I want you to know there's a lot of people quitting right now. A lot of people quitting. They quit. World we live in is a quit world. If it don't work like this way, I'll quit and do something else. If it don't work that way, I'll quit and do something else. A quitter never will be a winner. But you listen to this preacher, a winner never will be a quitter. If it was supposed to shout, you would have done it. Amen. A quitter never will be a winner, but a winner never will be a quitter. You remember that this morning. There's some of you got a little quit in you this morning, because I've had a little quit in me here lately. But you get this morning. There ain't nothing worth quitting for. There's nothing happening in your life worth quitting for. You just keep on marching on. You keep pushing on. You keep letting God lead you. Number one, there's a crowd that's curious. That's worried if you're going to keep on. Number two, why you shouldn't quit is there's a cross that has to be carried. Not only is there a crowd watching you, but there's a cross that has to be carried and it can't be laid down. Look with me, if you will, into verse number 27. We done looked in 25 and 26, but verse number 27, you better finish and don't quit. Don't you quit. I'm going to retire. There ain't no retirement in the Christian business. Ain't no retirement. You die out. You don't get out. You don't retire out. A man and woman of God, they die out. And whosoever, look in verse 27. Here's that cross that has to be carried. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. There's a cross that has to be carried. Number one, there must be an identification with the cross. He said, you must bear your cross. There's identification. I would ask you this morning, can the world tell that you're carrying the cross of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Is there anything, any evidence, any identification on your life that you're a child of God? Is there any identification this morning that you've took up and started carrying your cross? Can the crowd that is curious say, right there is one of them old cross toters right there? Not only is he says, and whosoever did not bear his cross, that's the identification that you bear the cross. He said, no, there's identification with the cross, but there's a demonstration when you tote the cross. And whosoever did not bear his cross and come after me, you see, there's a demonstration. When you identify with the cross, there'll be a demonstration. You'll start following Jesus Christ. You'll start following his footsteps. But not only is there an identification with the cross and a demonstration, there's a transformation when you start toting that cross. You're transformed. You're not who you used to be. When you start toting that cross and you start toting what Christ did and you say, Lord God, I want to live for you and I don't want to let you down. Preacher, I'm not perfect. No, but he is. There ain't nothing good about me. Oh, yes, there is. There's nothing perfect about me. Oh, yes, there is. No, there ain't. Oh, yes, there is. The devil's lied to you. If you're washing the blood... If you're washing the blood of Jesus Christ, there's something perfect about you. And that's that blood that saved you from your sins. That's that blood that flowed from Emmanuel's veins. And when sinners plunge up beneath that flood, they lose all them guilty stains. You tell me that ain't perfect. That's perfect. Never can be blemished. Never can be spotted. Never can be these things, the blood of Jesus Christ. He said there's an identification when it comes with that. It washes them sins away. He said not only is there a crowd that is curious, there's a cross that must be carried. We see the identification that we bear the cross. We see the demonstration we follow Christ. The transformation we come after Him. But if you don't carry that cross, there's a separation. There's a separation. Look what he says here. Verse 27. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Cannot be. This morning I want to share with you something. There's a crowd that is curious. Don't you quit. There's a cross that's got to be carried. Don't you quit. Don't you quit. Don't you quit. That ain't for me, preacher. Thank God it ain't for you, but it's for one person in this room this morning, I guarantee you. Don't you quit. There's a crowd waiting on you to quit, and they know you. They know, they know. You heard that story, didn't you? They sent a man out looking for he's a recruiter. Said, go out and recruit somebody for the football team. Said he got out there and he sent him out. He said, I saw a man. He said every time he got up against somebody, he got up against him, he said that man knock him down. Said he'd get right back up. Said he'd knock him down, he'd get right back up. Said he'd knock him down, he'd get right back up. The coach asked the recruiter, he said, you know who we're looking for? He said, yeah, we're looking for the man that knocked the man down every time. He said, no, we're looking for the man that got back up every time. You know who God's looking for? He's not looking at the best. He's not looking at the brightest. He's not looking at the one that can knock everybody down. He's looking at the one that gets knocked down but keeps getting right back up. Because there's a crowd out there that's curious, waiting on you to be a failure. But there's a cross that says you've been forgiven. He said, tote that thing. But I see a third thing in the text. Don't you quit. It's going to ring in your ears to the day you die. Because it's ringing in mine each and every day. Don't you quit. Don't you quit. Don't you quit. You finish. You finish it. The third thing. Don't you quit because there's a crowd that's curious. There's a cross that has to be carried. But don't you quit because there was a cost that you had to count. There was a cost that you had to count before you ever started. If you'll remember the shape you was in before you signed up, you'll remember how bad you really was. You counted the cost at one time in your life and you said it'd be better for me to be a follower of Jesus Christ. He convicted that heart and you turned to Him and He saved your soul and you said it'd be better for me to be a follower. For Jesus Christ. Don't you quit. I want to ask you this morning. What has it costed you since you started following Jesus? Has it cost you anything? If it's not cost you nothing, are you following Him? Since you become a born again believer, has it cost you anything? The preacher, don't cost to follow Jesus. The price has been paid on Calvary. You're exactly right. The cost has been paid on Calvary, but it will cost you some things when you start following Jesus Christ. If it wasn't, the Bible would have said so. But the Bible here, I love this because it's written in red. Jesus says in verse 28, not only is there a crowd that's curious, a cross that has to be carried, but there's a cost that needs counting. In verse 28, the Bible says, for which of you intending to build a tower? Which of you intend to build a house? Which of you intend to build something great? Setteth not down first and count the cost. You see, he talked about the crowd and he talked about the cross, but now he's talking about there's a cost that needs to be counted. So which of you would not set down first and count the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish? Let me give you this. The cost that needs counted, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. To follow Jesus. Your sin's been forgiven, but it's going to cost you something to follow Jesus. It's going to cost you, and it's going to cost me to be faithful. It's going to cost you, and it's going to cost me to finish. Let me give you some things I jotted down that it'll cost you when you come to know Jesus Christ. Number one, it'll cost you your reputation of who you used to be. The old bad boy. Nobody talks to me that way. I tell them what I think. It costs you that. That attitude's got to go. There's a cost that needs to be counted, and the ones will cost you a reputation. What you built all your life up to that point, it's going to cost you every bit of that back there. Number two, it's going to cost you some friends. And it could even be your best friend. Now, let me just clean this up. I'm talking about a man that's following Jesus. I'm not talking about a fan. It don't cost you nothing to be a fan. You can clap all day. It don't cost you nothing to be a fan. I'm talking about being a follower. When you sit down at the table, you can't order that drink. I don't like it, preacher. We're going to preach it here. You and your buddies kicking up heels. You can't order the long neck. It costs you something when you come to know Christ. It costs you something. It costs me something. Salvation's free. Yeah, it's free, but it costs you. I can't do what the other boys do no more, and you can't neither if you're going to be a follower. Now, a fan can, but a follower can't. It's going to cost you your reputation, number one. Number two, it's going to cost you your friends. It could even be your best friend. Are you willing to lose your best friend to follow Jesus Christ? When I was out in the world, let me tell y'all something. I had some friends, best friends, Brother Brent Gunner. Out in the world where I used to live, they didn't wrong me and I didn't wrong them. That was just one of them little old codes you knew about one another. You love one another. But when I come to know Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, I had to do what he told me to do. Number one, it may cost you your reputation. Number two, it may cost you your friends, maybe even your best friend. Number three, it may even cost you your family. Your best part of your family. Preacher, you crazy. No. Following Jesus cost us. Let me give you something else here. It might even cost you your finances. It will cost you failures along the way. People look at you like you're a failure when you're doing the Father's business. And it's going to cost you, get this, worldly freedom. To have freedom in Christ is going to cost you worldly freedom. What are you talking about? You can't do what you used to do. Holy Spirit won't allow it. Most miserable person in the world. It ain't somebody on a diet, trust me. It's a man of God, a woman of God out of the will of God. They're the most miserable. Don't you quit. You finish. Not only will it cost you, but when you quit, there is shame in quitting. On them old hot August days, if you had a starting position, and by the way, if you're born again, you got a starting position. He ain't put none of you on the bench. He don't play favorites. No. That ain't in his high school. He plays them all. But on them old hot August days, when you're down in the trenches, and it's hot, and the battle's getting rough, and it's getting tough, and that old boy walk off the field, and coach asked the team, said, y'all want to put him back on? You know what everybody'd say? That's up to you, coach. Folks, this morning, don't you finish. You quit. Don't you quit until you finished. Don't you quit until you finished. When you leave this walk alive, you can say, I have finished what he has given me to do. He says that there's a curious crowd that's watching you. I promise you. There's a cross that needs to be carried. And there's a cost that needs to be counted. He says in the book, quitting, there's shame in quitting. Look what he says. Verse 29, lest happily after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build. Now, it's Jesus talking, and was not able to finish it. This man started to build, but he wasn't able to finish it. I've always heard the saddest thing that ever was said is he used to be a preacher. I thought this week, everybody that knows me calls me Brother BJ, Brother BJ, Brother BJ, Brother BJ. And I said, if I quit pastoring and I quit preaching and went back just being, how would that make me feel when I seen them individuals and they called me Brother BJ? You see, they didn't put that title on me. God put that on me. I must not quit what he's given me. I want to share a little story with you in closing. I hope you've understood this morning, don't quit. You must finish. Don't quit. Finish. D.L. Moody said that not giving up is worth it all. D.L. Moody lived in Chicago, and he said it was my sad lot. It was my sad lot to be in the Chicago fire. As the flames rode down our streets, destroying everything in their onward march, I saw the great and the honorable, the learned and the wise, fleeing before the fire with the beggar and the thief and the harlot. All were alike as the flames swept through the city. It was like judgment day. Nobody could do nothing about it. All were paupers that night. D.L. Moody said, when the day of judgment comes, they will be no different. When the day of judgment comes, what you have done with Christ and for Christ will matter more than anything else. His arrival could be sooner than you think. And as your pastor, I beg you, don't quit. Finish what you started. This morning, if you got the quit on the table, you listen to me from left side to right side. If you got the quit on the table, I would beg you in the name of Jesus Christ to get the quit off the table. Because if you don't get it off, it'll soon overtake you. The quit will soon overpower you if you don't get the quit off the table. How to overcome the quitting, preacher? Get your eyes off the crowd and get them on the cross. He didn't quit on us. And I beg you as your pastor, don't you quit on him. Don't you quit on him. You can look right at me and say, preacher, don't you quit on him. Don't you quit on him. He's been good, too good to you to quit on him. Folks, as your pastor, he's been too good to you for you to quit on him. This morning, if you got the quit on the table, I'd be an altar this morning. And I say, Lord God, get that quit off the table. Let me get my eyes off the crowd and get it on the cross. Because there's a time in my life that I counted it. I counted what it was going to take for me to follow you. Now, let me be a man enough to man up and do what I promised you I'd do. And that's follow you all the days of my life. Father, I love you and I thank you. Lord God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for these people. I thank you for the word of God. I thank you that it's written in red right there. And Lord God, it's written down. It's mashed down. It's printed down. It's stapled down, Father. Whoo, glory. And Father God, that there's a crowd watching each and every one of us wondering what we're going to do. Hey, but there's a cross that says we have forgiveness. And Lord God, we counted that cost one day in our life. Well, I pray whoever hears this morning, I pray they get the quit off the table and they just start looking to the finish line. Father, I sure do love you. I thank you for loving me. Lord God, I thank you that you didn't quit on me. It's in Jesus' most holy, precious name. Amen. I ask you to